together as we gather online for this Remembrance Sunday service. Welcome to all our RBC friends and church members. My name's Richard Shorter. I'm the Baptist minister on Harold Hill and a good friend of RBC, and it's a privilege to be leading this service today, during which we will have the 2 minutes silence to remember all those who have died during war. Our theme this morning will be continuing to use the hymn Crown Him with Many Crowns as we reflect on our world today and what Christ is doing and how we may encounter Christ in a strange and uncertain time. So let us gather together with these call to worship prayers. Gracious God, we heard you even in the sea of disorder and the darkness of the void, crying light and life become, and all creation was begun. We gather to praise. Redeeming God, we heard you even in the sins of destruction and in the nighttime of sadness, crying enough, here is my son, hope, love and hope for the future. We gather to praise. Inspiring God, we heard you even in the silence of sorrow and the anguish of pain, crying, if God be for us, who can be against us? We gather to praise. We will now sing two worship songs together, 10,000 Reasons, followed by Indescribable. Thank you for joining us in that time of song worship together. Let us now come to a time of thanksgiving as we give God thanks for all the wonderful things that we have. Let us pray together. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship you and we give you thanks. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine that we have this morning. We thank you that we live in a nation of peace. We thank you for your love, your compassion, and your kindness. We thank you for the technology to enable us to still gather and connect with one another, even in a time of national shutdown. Almighty God, may our hearts be glad this morning that we can connect with each other, but most importantly, connect with you. Help us, whatever our circumstances this morning, to be grateful for all that you have given us, while humbly bringing you our honesty, our pain, and our sadness. As I leave a few moments now for each of us to bring before God the burdens of our hearts. Almighty God, we thank you for hearing us. We thank you for the confidence that we have that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit meets with us, connects with us, dwells with us, has interest and love for us, so that we may dwell with him. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite the wonderful church secretary, Hayley, to come and give us the notices and then lead us in this morning's reading. Hayley, lovely to see you.
Good morning, everybody. As mentioned last week, our services are now back online only, so please join us this evening at 6 o'clock online to watch this evening's service, and then again next Sunday at 10:30. This Tuesday at 8 p.m. we have got our prayer meeting via Zoom, and at 8:15 Journeys are meeting via Skype. And also at 7:30 on Tuesday evening, there is a discussion and question and answer session that Hannah is helping lead, which is talking about understanding race and diversity and how, as a church and as Christians, we should respond to that situation. So if you'd like to take part in that as well, all the details are on the notice sheet. all of the upcoming events for youth and children's again are on the notice sheet that Hannah has been leading brilliantly over these months of lockdown. This Wednesday we've got the next part of our character course. It starts at 7:45, but please start joining at 7:30, so we're ready to start going at 7:45 in our groups. Now, Christmas obviously is going to be different, so we've been looking at different ways that we can as a church somehow celebrate Christmas together and get the Christmas message across, but in the current situation that we're in. So there's three different areas that you can help in and volunteer in and take part in. We're going to be doing a Christmas treasure trail walk. Everyone's allowed to do a daily activity of walking or running or whatever, but you know, you can do a daily activity. So we need volunteers who live from the church upwards to Balgors Lane and across down to Eastern Avenue. If you live in that vicinity, all we need for you to do is to put an A4 poster in a downstairs window. We will provide the poster. That is all you have to do. You don't have to do anything else but put something in your downstairs window, and then families, anyone I'm planning to do it, can go on a Christmas treasure trail walk. So please do volunteer if you live in this area. The photo challenges are coming back again, something that we all enjoyed taking part in, and they are on the themes of love, joy, peace and hope. So with those words in mind, please submit a photo that you've taken. It has to be a photo that you've taken. Unfortunately, we cannot use anything that you have seen on the internet and you want to submit. It has to be a photo that you've taken under those themes, and please send them into the church office. Now, we're going to be doing what's called a scarecrow nativity. Again, I know that's different, but the aim is that we're going to make scarecrows and they're going to go up on the flat roof on the front of church, hopefully, so that everybody walking past can see. One of the scarecrows is already here. I saw it this morning. It looks absolutely brilliant. If you're thinking about it, I had a chat with the two people that made the scarecrow that's already here, just to kind of find out what it's like, because I know it can be something different and something I've never made one before. So to find out what it's about, they both said that they wouldn't necessarily consider themselves super creative, but they had a lot of fun doing it. They said it probably took about 2 days, so you could do it during the week or on a weekend or over a couple of evenings. We've got some spare clothes. We've also got some stuffing that you can use here. So, and we can provide you with some instructions. So if you would like to take part in that, please do contact the office. On the notice sheet, you'll see what people from the Christmas story are missing that we need to still make up. For us, Christmas is a time where we can share the message to our family and friends. We normally invite them to the services, to the activities. We obviously can't do that this year, but we're going to put a nativity scene up on the roof. So if you take part in that, you can still share the message. You can tell your friends, oh, next time you walk past the church, please look up, because you know what? I helped make that nativity. I helped make Mary. And then you can get the Christmas message into your conversation. So if you're interested, please do contact the church office. Thank you. As Rich said, we're now going to have our reading. Our reading is from Luke chapter 22, verses 47 to 53. While he was speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this," and he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Thank you.
Thank you, Hayley. I've got to say, that just sounds such an epic Christmas. I know it's not going to be what we're used to, but I love the creativity your church leadership have come up with there. You're very blessed to have people with such creative ideas to help us continue to engage in the story and help people outside of our church families engage with the story Jesus over the Christmas period. We're now going to prepare to come to our act of remembrance. Because you're watching online, there is obviously a time delay. We're going to try and get it so that the 2 minutes is almost exactly when the 2 minutes should be. But you'll understand, I'm sure, because of juggling this technology, that we might not quite get that spot on. As we come, we're going to start that time by singing the worship song, Be Still and Know. To help us prepare for our time of remembrance, I would like to read two poems, a very famous one and then a more modern one about peace. And then, I don't know if you're aware, but in the back right-hand corner of the sanctuary at RBC, you have a list of names of those who lost their lives during World War II. And I thought it would be appropriate today, before the 2 minute silence, to read those names to you. So the first poem. With proud thanksgiving, a mother for her children, England mourns her dead across the sea. Flesh of her flesh they were, spirit of her spirit, fallen in the cause of the free. Solemn drums thrill, death angst and royal, sing sorrow up unto immortal spheres. There is music in the midst of desolation, and a glory that shines upon our tears. They went with songs into battle. They were young, straight of limb, true of eye, steady and aglow. They were staunch to the end, and against odds uncounted, they fell with their faces to the foe. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. The second poem is called Amazing Peace. In our joy, we think we hear a whisper. At first it is too soft, then only half heard. We listen carefully as it gathers strength. We hear a sweetness. The word is peace. It is loud now. Louder than the explosion of bombs. We tremble at the sound. We are thrilled by its presence. It is what we have hungered for. Not just the absence of war, but true peace. A harmony of spirit, a comfort of courtesies, security for our beloveds and their beloveds. We, angels and mortals, believers and non-believers, look heavenward and speak the word aloud. Peace. We look at each other, then to ourselves, and we say without shyness or apology or hesitation, peace, my brother. Peace, my sister. Peace, my soul. And because we have time, I'm just going to read one more poem, which is called Christmas Day in the Trenches. 'Twas Christmas in the trenches, and the frost was so bitter hung. The frozen fields of France, where still no songs of peace were sung. Our families back in England were were toasting us that day. They're brave and glorious lads, so far away. I was lying with my messmates on the cold and rocky ground when across the lines of battle came a most peculiar sound. I say, now listen up, me boys. Each soldier strained to hear as one young German voice sang out so clear. He's singing jolly well, you know, my partner says to me. Soon, one by one, each German voice is joined in harmony. The cannons rested silent, and the gas cloud rolled no more, as Christmas brought us respite from the war. As soon as they were finished, and a reverent pause was spent, God rest ye merry gentlemen, struck up some lads from Kent. The next they sang was Still Nuck, Tis Silent Night, I say, and in two tongues one song filled up that sky. And now the names of those who are on the plaque in the sanctuary at RBC. The plaque says this: in loving memory of the members of this church and congregation who died in the service of their country in the war, 1939 to 1945. Donald Appleyard, aged 20. Alan Butcher, aged 20. Cyril Butcher, aged 19. Kenneth Clark, aged 23. Joan Duncan, aged 19. Dennis Satch, aged 20. Frank Saunders, aged 21. John Stanger, aged 20. Brothers and sisters, if you are able, would you stand with me? Friends, let us remember before God all those who have died in war. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Sisters and brothers, take a seat as we now come to pray for God's world, to intercede for peace and hope and comfort today. us pray together. Father of mercies, God of all comfort, we pray this day for all those who continue to suffer because of war, widows, orphans, and all who are bereaved, the wounded, the crippled, the deaf, the dumb, the blinded, the shell-shocked, and the traumatized. Refugees without home, work, or country. Grant them all your healing and strength, your help and consolation. And use us, your church, Jesus, we pray, for the sake of your glory. Almighty God, we bring to you our world. We recognize the impact of the election in the United States. We thank you so far that there has been peace between two so vehemently opposed sides. We pray for transitions of power. We pray for wisdom for all those involved. Lord, we pray for the global situation with the COVID pandemic. We recognize, Lord, that within our own church family, people have been affected and impacted, but through health or employment. We recognize globally the world has been significantly impacted, both economically and health-wise. Lord, we pray for our world leaders and for the leaders of this nation, as they have the immensely challenging and difficult task of juggling the science, the advice, and popular opinion to know what is the right thing to do. God, we pray for our Prime Minister and the Cabinet that you would grant them wisdom as they navigate these uncharted waters. Lord, we pray for all those today who live in poverty, impacted by war, global pandemics, poor leadership. May you use your church to bring comfort. May you rise up people who will speak for justice where there is none. Lord, in this time when the US election and COVID dominates our news, let us not forget those wars in places like Syria that have raged for decades and the huge impact it has on innocent people. May the church be at the front of those calling for peace, intervention, and wisdom. And so we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. In a moment, we're going to come to the word for today. And I believe as a church, you're working through the wonderful hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. And today we will look at one of those verses together. But before we do, we will sing this great Christian hymn together, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Crown Him the Lord of Life. Crown Him the Lord of Life. Life is a little strange at the moment for us, isn't it? COVID, US elections, and now Remembrance Day at a distance. He is the Lord of life, and yet we're experiencing life at the moment in ways many of us haven't known it, working permanently from home. For others, there'll be the challenge of getting older in this time. For others, it'll be a strange time of life because we've lost loved ones. For others, it will be the economic uncertainty. And yet, we are beckoned to crown him the Lord of life. The night before Jesus was hung on a cross was a strange one too. Jesus' disciples were ready for battle, for war, but even in that moment, the Lord of life was healing and restoring. In that moment in the garden, as Jesus was betrayed and handed over to those who would give him an unjust trial and an unjust execution, he was being the Lord of life, beckoning that the tools of peace be put, tools of war be put down, and that peace be restored. Restoring the young man whose ear had been savagely cut off. Crown him the Lord of life. All that we have is from God. And all that life he breathes, he gives to us. And all the breaths of life we breathe are gifts from him. For some of us, those breaths are uncertain breaths about what is coming in the coming weeks and months. But let's not let the fragileness of our lives at the moment crowd out crowning him the Lord of life. Even on the eve of death, he gave life. As we remember those who have died in war, as we live in troubled times, let us remember we were made for life and to worship the one who gives us life. Crown him the Lord of life who triumphed over the grave. This is our hope, that Jesus triumphed over the grave. In times of war, our hope is that Jesus triumphed over the grave. In times of peace, our hope is that Jesus triumphed over the grave. In times of prosperity and times of pandemics, our hope is that Jesus triumphed over the grave. Death has been voted out of office. Death has been given a vaccine. As the Bible reminds us that the tools of death, the weapons of war, only have a future to be turned into tools which will tend the earth and bring life. Crown him the Lord of life who triumphs over the grave. This is a truth we know well, and yet this is a truth the world struggles to believe in because death is the order of things. But death is not God's order of things. Life is God's order. Hence Jesus' victory over death. In all that is happening as Christians, let us be renewing our minds to this hope daily, hourly, that we are to crown him the Lord of life who triumphed over the grave. In a time when the news is frightening, disturbing, when going out of the house contains more risk than we have perhaps known in our lifetimes, let us remember that he triumphed over the grave. My challenge to you and to myself this week is that this should be our biggest news point. This should be what we reflect on most. I don't know about you, but I have certainly found myself being more addicted to the news cycle than I can ever remember being so. As a family, asking, what are the rules right now? What's the Prime Minister's next announcement going to be? What will the election results be? Drawing us into the endless cycle of people guessing and second guessing and projecting often the worst case scenarios. Can we make this week a week in which we intentionally meditate on the good news? That we crown him the Lord of life who triumphed over the grave. The verse goes on to say, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. This is a time for mission. I love the creativity we've talked about for Christmas already. It's a time for mission. It's not politicians who truly save. It's not vaccines that truly save. It's not online church meetings and gatherings which truly save. It is Jesus. Now, God uses politicians on both the left and the right. God will use a vaccine if it comes, because he is the Lord of life. God uses the church because the church is his bride and he delights in it. But it is Jesus who saves us. Saves us from each other, to lift us above the strife, to give us, to offer us, to beckon us, to woo us into eternal life. I don't know about you, but I've found the last 6-9 months probably the hardest to do mission yet. Mainly because I've been juggling, putting a church online, family life, everything seems to be online. For some of you households, you'll know exactly what I mean when you're trying to schedule who's doing what Zoom meeting, who can you kick off the internet to make sure that your Zoom meeting works properly. For others, it will be the endless sense of loneliness and when can I hang out properly with those that I love again. And so the thought of doing mission, understandably, just isn't at the forefront of your minds. It is right and proper that we spend this time working out how to do the technology, how to support our friends and family, how to cope with the loneliness. But in all these activities, there is still a space for mission. A space to be honest with our friends and family about how we feel, about how even a Zoom meeting with church offers us hope and enables us to connect with Jesus and friends. A space to be honest about how we feel in our place and our humanity, and to share that there is hope. It is not the church or political leaders or medical breakthroughs that are going to see us for eternity have peace. It is Jesus. His glory is now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died to bring eternal life and lives that death may die. Let's let this week be a week of worship. Crown him with many crowns. That's a call to worship. I don't know what this week will hold for me. I don't know what this week will hold for you. It might be a better week. It might be a harder week because of lockdown. But let's worship him. It might be a week that we feel that death is closer than ever before, but let's worship him. And here is the challenge in this for Christians, not because it's escapism. I really struggle with a spirituality that says ignore the pain and the strife the world is going through. Just go into a different room, pretend it's not all there, and worship Jesus. Jesus never endorses escapism or just pretending it's all okay. All the stories you read about Jesus are rooted and grounded in real life, real emotions, real experiences. And in the midst of those, Jesus is connecting people together, connecting people with him, showing real empathy and compassion, and still calling people to crown him with many crowns and calling people to life and deep connection with God. As we worship him this week, it's not that we forget or pretend that the world is rosy and everything is right. It's we worship him in the midst of the world, being a shade of danger and uncertainty that we have not experienced before. We worship him with the honesty of that. We worship him with the sentences which say, Lord, I don't feel like I have the energy to be honest and worship you today. I'm lonely, God. Help me connect with you. Bring your honesty about where you are at in the midst of this pandemic into your worship. Doubts and worries, so that he can breathe his life into your life and sit with you in the midst of those doubts and uncertainties. His resurrection life, given and offered to us through all the experiences each of our sisters and brothers will experience this week. He lives life. He lives. gives life at the right hand of the Father, and he is offering the world, even in times of uncertainty, war, and pandemics, from the right hand of the Father, the living Jesus offers the world life, peace, and hope. So let's crown him with many crowns as we navigate these uncertain waters. We're going to close our service together by singing two worship songs. Jesus Christ is risen today, and shine, Jesus, shine. Thank you so much for joining us this morning for our morning service. In a moment, I'm just going to say a blessing, and then we'll share the grace together. I'm very grateful to Haley and the AV guys for making everything work really well this morning, keeping me company this morning. Let us pray together as we close our service. May the God of peace send us into the world this week, whether that be online or in person, to be beacons of hope and peace as we seek by the Spirit's power to crown him the Lord of life who triumphed over the grave. May we be people who speak of resurrection hope through our actions, words, and attitudes in this coming week. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.